like to call the council meeting to order, please. Call for a moment of silence. We can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is audience participation. Do we have a sign-up sheet, Sherry, or... Sure. Okay. First, do you want me to read it out here or just from here, Sherry?
Alex Mazurkowicz, are you here?
So he will accept it.
Okay. Thank you. We have a proclamation. It says, whereas on average 700 people die each year in boating related accidents in the United States, nearly 70% of these are fatalities caused by drowning, and whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the boat equipment or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets, and whereas modern life jackets are more comfortable and attractive than styles of years past and deserve a fresh look by today's boating public, now, therefore, be resolved that I, Harry Robinson, Mayor of the City of Blaine, Washington, hereby support the goals of the North American Safe Boating Campaign in the United States Power Squadrons and proclaim the week of May the 21st through May the 27th, 2016 as National Safe Boating Week in the City of Blaine, Washington, and the start of the year-round effort to promote safe boating. In witness thereof, I urge all who boat to boat smart and boat safe. Signed, the 9th day of May, 2016. I'll let you have that. Thank you very much. Would you like to say that?
Thank you very much from the Power Squadron to the City Council for making this proclamation. The Power Squadron is kind of the premier organization in the country for recreational boaters and education. And we're dedicated to boater education, training, safety, and having a good time. And with that in mind, we are having this Saturday at the marina here our Sea Skills training program. You're all invited, including members of the public. We have 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll be demonstrating and practicing with aerial flares, rockets. So that's really exciting. And learning how to use safely the devices, safety devices that are available, pyrotechnics, as well as in the afternoon there will be a series of programs and seminars just related to all kinds of boating topics. And so City Council members, general public, everybody is invited to come out this Saturday right here at the Blaine Marina. And we really appreciate this proclamation.
Thank you very much. Thank you. See you Saturday. Okay, Brenda Hansen, you wish to address the audience, the council. Would you please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please?
Brenda Hansen,
repeat it? Okay, that's right. Go ahead. Brenda Hansen. I'm the president of the board of directors for the Blaine Senior Center, 763 G Street in Blaine. And I have the great honor of coming to present the city council with a thank you and a letter for the flooring that just got completed at the Blaine Senior Center. Dear council members, we want to thank you so much for the funding that you provided for our new flooring. It makes the center warm and welcoming and is something that we can all be proud of. The community and the members of the Blaine Senior Center will enjoy it for many years to come. Please come and visit us soon and see how beautiful it looks. With sincere gratitude for your support for this project, thank you. I don't know if you've had a chance to come see our floors. I do have a picture, but I hope everybody will come and see them. We've had overwhelming gratitude and thankfulness, except for one guy. But, you know, we can't win them all. Yeah, it wasn't Dennis. He sort of shook his head, but everybody else is just so thrilled. It has changed the whole demeanor of the senior center. And I do want to thank Dave for working with us, and thank you for the funding. And it just went very quickly, and we got it done and made the decision. And I just want to let you know, as a representative of the Blaine Senior Center, how much we appreciate you and thank you for that funding. So I have the letter. Can I...
Thank you, Brenda. Well, we really appreciate you being here, and thank you very much for the letter.
Thank you.
Very much appreciated. Okay, written communication.
We received a letter dated May 6th from citizens Wender Yost, Evans, and Adams regarding a potential code enforcement violation.
And have we responded to the letter, or how are we going to handle it?
That's one of our ongoing code violation issues. The letter mostly relates to the decay of the building and has a tone of request for restoration, which may not be how that goes, but we are working on that. And there's a follow-up inspection scheduled for May 23rd.
So there's been a reply to it maybe?
No, we don't reply to every letter that we get like that, sir. We are acting on it, not replying to it.
That's good. Thank you. Okay, next item is the consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $133,495.64. Approval of payroll in the amount of $501,200.38. And approval of the council minutes for April the 25th, 2016. Willing to entertain a motion.
So move. Second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on the agenda is our council action items. And the first item, and the only item, is the real estate brokerage contract. Mr. City Manager.
Good evening, council. Gee, it looks like we've got a couple new council members here tonight. Good to see you ladies back. That's
Yes. Wonderful.
A full council. So tonight we're going to be talking about the brokerage agreement for the Gateway property. I'm going to give just a little bit of history. I'm going to ask John Sitkin to kind of address some of the contractual parts of our discussion, and then we've got the brokers here who are going to introduce themselves and talk about their plan a bit. So just a little bit of history. The council has, since I've been here and before, wanting to sell the Gateway property. You've had some standards which you've wanted to maintain relative to its use, highest use possible, living wage jobs, businesses that will improve the working conditions of the area, all kinds of interests and values on that property. And since I've been here, we've gotten lots and lots of calls about gas stations and more storage units, things along those lines, and the council has been pretty clear to me that those are not the uses necessarily that you're really looking for. We had some work done by a consultant to kind of address that. We did a little bit of work with Blaine Connected, who was really kind of a public-private partnership, and they did a lot of work to try to figure out if they could put some retail there, medical. We spent a lot of time with Peace Health. And it came down to the fact that I think the council felt this way, and certainly the Economic Development Committee, we needed to bring some professional-level brokerage to the table. And so... we talked a bit about that. The council agreed to that. Last January, we put together a request for proposal that was modeled after a request for proposal that the Port of Bellingham uses. It's been a successful model. We did the same thing, same language, except for we customized it to the Gateway property. We sent that out in February, and responses were due on February 26. We had four respondents to our request. They were all good respondents. As a result of that, we interviewed all four of them. The interviewers included myself, Shirley McFerrin from the Port. She's the director of the Port of Bellingham Real Estate, and two members of our Economic Development Committee interviewed all four. We had a list of questions that we asked all of them. And as a result of that, we made a selection with LePage and REMAX Brokerage, which is the folks that are here tonight. We notified the other brokers that responded that we didn't select them. To be honest with you, we could have gone with almost any of them. What really made the difference for this particular selection was the international connection between Canada and the United States. Obviously, my observation since I've been here is we're so influenced by the Canadian market. We have really successful Canadian companies working here relative to, you know, Nature's Path and others that have done well. And there's kind of this cluster of food industry here that it made sense to look at Canada. We've been talking about that. We've got this largest growing population in the region is in Canada. So to have the Canadian connection was really an important aspect to this particular group. The other groups that were interviewed were very local. They'd been here for many, many years, but had been very successful, I think. So had we not had this particular group to look at, we certainly would have been happy with the others. So I don't want to speak about it from that point of view. So we did a went through the process of doing a contract. John's going to speak to that on more specifics. But as I worked with John, he said, gee, Dave, did you know that one of our folks that is in this group, the city's had a dispute with them in the past? I said, gee, I didn't really realize that. It was something that was in the past many years ago. I will tell you that Eugene Klein, who's here today, when we first met 3 years ago, he said to me, I want you to know that in the past, you know, my family's had this thing with the city. I don't hold that same point of view. How do you feel about that? I said, well, you know, you're here to do business with us. You're an important one, a part of our community as a real estate owner and developer, and I'll treat you like everybody else. And I kind of put it behind me. I didn't think much more about that. So we did have that conversation early on, but I felt after talking to John, and actually John did a little bit of work to kind of key with the program up tonight, to talk to a few councils to see how you'd like to handle that. So the answer to the question is we want to be public. We want to be transparent. We want the council to ask those tough questions that you feel you might have. They're here to answer them. We're here to answer them. And based upon that back-and-forth conversation, we'll ask you to make a decision one way or another tonight. The staff recommendation is to authorize me to sign on behalf of the council to have a brokerage contract. So we'll ask you at the very end to address that recommendation. We'll turn it over to John.
Thank you. So first thing I want you to know that this is not an executive session because this is not a topic for executive session. Although it involves the sale of real property, it is not involving the price or the terms related to price of a real estate agreement. So it's not appropriate for executive session. So this is why we bring this forward in this setting. So when I saw the contract, I saw Eugene Klein's name, and I have the fortune of having a long memory and been around a little while, and I haven't started forgetting too many things yet. But I remember that there was a long history that predated my involvement with Eugene Klein and the removal of trees at near the airport and the flight path. And it is not Mr. Klein here. It is his parents who own the property. So as counsel, I said this is not a legal conflict, but it might be an issue of perception. It may be something some council members who were on the council at the time may have a question about, and it's not something I would want the council to then be have brought to their attention a month after you executed this agreement and people are saying, well, why did you consider this? We felt it was appropriate to bring to your attention so you make your decision now. I polled a couple of council members individually. I didn't hear an overwhelming negative behind bringing this forward, so Dave and I thought we would bring this recommendation forward unchanged. They're here to address the issues. Again, the Klein family owns property adjacent to, across the road from this property. It is, they have it listed. There may be some strategic advantages to that. It is not a legal conflict that would bar a contract like this for them to represent the city in selling this. And Mr. Klein is only one of two partners in the brokerage outfit, so there's enough. It's not solely his issue. We have a draft agreement that still has a few, I think, minor nits to work out. I want to bring a couple of those to the council attention. First, again, as always, you get the sole determination of price as the council, and agreement's not final until you approve an agreement. But as with any listing agreement, the broker who's going to invest time and money in trying to develop an offer and bring one to you for sale doesn't want to have you take action to prevent the sale. And if they bring you a bona fide offer, they want to have a confidence that you're going to execute that. So there's a common language that says if you otherwise prevent the broker from selling it, you'd be obligated to pay the commission. And I want to put a little bit of turbulence on that, giving a municipal entity, and there's so many different things that a city does versus a private party. You have zoning, you have regulatory standards that might change. So Craig and I have talked about that. I think that's an easy nit, but you need to be aware that if this council should change for some reason, and all of a sudden you decided I'm going to not sell the property after you've agreed to have someone list it, they may be entitled to some compensation. And I would rather you be aware of that now before you execute this than all of a sudden at a discussion regarding acceptance of a agreement or not, you have to consider that business question. But that's a standard term that you would see if you were listing any commercial residential property. There's a registration list that they get to reserve out, that if you sell a property to, after the expiration of this agreement, if you were to sell a property to someone who brought a bona fide offer to you, if you sold it to them within 6 years, they'd be entitled, or 6 months or so, they'd be entitled to their commission. We're just narrowing some dates of when they have to submit that registration list and that type of thing. But everything else, we made some changes that are all agreeable, and so the contract is nearly ready to go. We just held off finalizing that until you gave the authorization to Dave to finalize the agreement and execute it on behalf of the city. So I know Craig and Eugene are here to answer any questions that you may have. But I think we'll complete the contract satisfactorily once if you approve these folks in the general terms of the contract. Are there any asked questions about the contract that was in your package?
John, I have one. I was looking at the arrangements on leases, and it talks about the first year's 5% and then the 3% on the remaining lease time. Now that means if somebody signs a 20-year lease that the city will be paying 3% over the 20 years.
Yes, and you'd factor that into the rate that you'd have and the business deal that you were having with the lease as it was presented, and whether the income as adjusted with the payment of the commission on that basis, whether that was something over the 20-year term you'd want to do.
Because the other part of that was if on lease renewals, I see it's only 2%.
That's right. It goes down. There's less lease renewals, tend to be more automatic. There may be some negotiation. They may not be. It usually would be handled in-house at that point, and you know, that's just how they're getting their compensation. These might be of significant value to the listing agent, but then the lease may be of significant value to the city that you still own the underlying interest of the property, and you'd have an income for an extended period of time, and you'd have made that business decision based upon the rental rate adjusted by the what the net would be adjusted by the commission and other factors. That's not outside the norm of my experience as a norm.
Go ahead, Paul.
You said that if the broker brings to us a bona fide offer and we do not accept it, we may be liable to some sort of
commission. There's a potential that that's where we're going to nail down the otherwise prevents broker from selling it. I think I don't want to see a deal done that is for a certain use and then you pass a moratorium on that particular use that, you know, you had approved a deal for somebody. We're going to have a discussion about what a minimum price would be. We'll have that discussion. We'll communicate that to the broker that don't bring a price back under this. So that is going to define the terms of that. So we'll have some of those parameters set forth.
But that's not quite where I was going.
Okay. Sorry.
We have talked off and on about a truck stop. Mm-hmm. And if the broker were to bring to us a legitimate offer that was intended to lead to a truck stop there. Could they, in fact, ask us for a commission if we were to turn down, once again, a truck stop or something similar?
Those are kind of parameters we have to define, otherwise prevent it. Is it going to be something, any use that's consistent with the underlying zoning? Or are you going to have your hand in what the actual use is going to be? That's a little bit of that nuance in preventing it that Craig and I have to have that final discussion on. We've teed that up, says we have to discuss it, but that's that final resolution. And if you want to tell us that, you know, we want to have some authorization of the use before we approve a final deal that's accepted that would create liability under the commission section, that's fine. Maybe you just tell me that tonight and we'll work that through the agreement.
Yeah, I, for one, would ask for that.
Bonnie and Charlie, you were here when the Klein litigation was going on. I think you're the only two council members that were on here. Have you any comments you want to make concerning the Klein property or the fact that Mr. Klein is part of this organization?
And again, he wasn't the owner. He was his
friend. I'm just wondering if there's some comments that you care to make.
From my standpoint, I mean, it's like, different person, so I mean, it's not. I assume that he's been in business long enough. He's been looking out for his business and not his family first. In this case, so I'm okay with it.
My inclination is that I don't hold a child, at fault for something that their parents went through. However, on the other hand, I'd like to get a clarification from Mr. Klein, what his involvement was to any degree during that period of time that your parents were involved in litigation.
I can tell you. I think that my recollection of Mr. Klein's involvement, I would tell you that I know the tree issue predated my involvement with the city, which would have been over 15 years ago now. Mm-hmm. It back to Matt Elitch's representation of the city was an effort to get the trees lowered or removed. And mm-hmm. So that's 20-plus years that had gone on and continued for some time. We then had some litigation and trying to negotiate a resolution. Eugene was in some of those meetings trying to facilitate the resolution mm-hmm. on behalf of his parents. Mm-hmm. So I didn't necessarily see that as a negative, but trying to facilitate a solution. But I didn't feel it was appropriate for me not to tell you that he mm-hmm. had been involved and his family had been in the history and that there was some effort on his part to participate and facilitate a solution. Mm-hmm. We ultimately did settle, but as I recall, but I remember there was a lot of trying times at that time. It wasn't generated by this Mr. Eugene.
Could I just hear from Mr. Klein?
Absolutely.
That I just want to have an assurance that this will not color in any way your relationship with the city and working on our behalf to the very fullest in your professional capacity. Because it was a rancorous time that it was hard for council to understand the resistance and all the expense that had to be gone through at the time, and it was very difficult for us.
I think that's very well said, Councilman.
And so I just like to hear.
Yeah. And we told Mr. Klein that he ought to anticipate those questions. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. So I guess the background, of course, is preset, but our family's had a long vested history in the city of Blaine. Since those times of when we were going through the expropriation on our lands, those lands were tied up for a number of years, and that sort of has passed by. We've continued to invest in that property, bring it through, and are still working with the city to finalize that general binding site plan, have put it onto the market, and want to be able to create the type of employment and capacity at that site. When the opportunity came up for a brokerage bid here for the city lands, my relationship with Craig, having both successful brokerages in Canada where both Craig and I transact close to $100 million to $250 million in international funds, have an ability to create something unique, which I think the city of Blaine needs. And myself, I'm committed to the community, and I thought that this would be a great place put my time in, given how close I am, and my 20 years in brokerage to use for the city. And that's why we put that through in our proposal. And we also put the disclosures in there about our vested interests and all of that in writing to make sure that was covered off up front. Myself, I've sat on the board of directors for the province of British Columbia in the Land Title Survey Authority, so I'm very aware of public policy disclosures and the right things to do. I'm trained in the Institute of Corporate Directors as an ICD.D. I've sat as president of the Real Estate Board of Greater Vancouver, looking over 13,200 realtors with pretty hefty public scrutiny in our market. So I'm very used to that, the type of disclosures, conflict of interest policy, and professional etiquette that's required to look after a city property. I hope that answers.
Do you live in BC?
I do, and okay. I have an E2 visa to transact and trade down here, so that also puts me in a very unique position, and I'm licensed in the state of Washington, so I'm able to show properties and stuff, and that was also
important. Your parents still own the property over here,
they do.
Correct? Do they live in the States?
No, they live in British Columbia,
okay.
In North Vancouver.
I just, you know, for us, the city of Blaine is very dear to our hearts.
Right.
And when you don't live in a place that you might own property, you might have a little bit of a different focus.
Right.
So I just want you to know that that's paramount to us.
Right.
That this property be used to its utmost purpose, even if it becomes a truck route or a truck stop. But whatever it may be, which I used to be terribly against, Paul. I'm softening on that position somewhat because we are a truck-related community, and I think we have to be realistic about that. But that aside, I just want to know that you know the heart we have for this community. We live here. We have community here. We have a very close community here that a lot of people don't realize who don't live in this area.
Right.
And this is very close to our hearts. So
yeah,
I
Council, I could assure you of something. If you invest for a short period of time, Blaine is like a second home to me after being here since 1981. And being involved in the process that both my parents have gone through and being a part of Blaine, it's a huge amount. But the properties that you have require an outside focus in order to be successful.
I understand
to direct, yes. A severe amount of money in the realm of 50 to 70 million into, if you want to be able to create the jobs, if you want to be able to create the campus style, if you want to create an intermittent use, and you've also want somebody who can put that upfront capital there and the bonds they're required to do that. Mm-hmm. Blaine is an undiscovered gem. Mm-hmm. It's a jewel from that point of view. But if mm-hmm. you really want to push where the valuation is going to go and the jobs are going to go, it will take outside capital to do that. Mm-hmm. So you need to have brokerages that are in that but also care about that community. And that part,
absolutely,
for sure, our team has.
That's the combination we want. And I fully understand that international connection and the connections you do have, that's very strategic and important to us. So I don't want to minimize that at all. That is very important, too. I just wanted to put forth.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the stewardship that we need to have the discussion between us and yourselves to say if there are certain uses that are lower on the list, create that list, or uses that you just simply don't want right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
We in no way are trying to be able to look to the letter of the contract and try to get compensation. What we're trying to do is do the best possible for the community. If we know up front that you've had other discussions that can direct us away from that, we're going to come with the proper process once awarded and finalizing this paperwork with exactly what that's going to look like. You'll receive that, city staff will receive that, and then we can get the feedback and direct that. We just don't want to be in the dark, you know, in six mm-hmm. months' time when we've brought stuff forward
right.
at that point.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Paul?
The decision to sell the airport was taken before I got here. But my understanding was that it was predicated on generating something, selling the land to create numerous well-paying jobs. And so that, for me, the test of whether an offer is acceptable will be both the price that is proposed to buy the land and the use to which the land will be put. So that I say again, my touchstone will be number of jobs and quality of jobs.
Mm-hmm. Should I go?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Craig Steinlich. I'm the other side of this team, and if I could just address a couple, you know, your concern there. We are going to do our best to bring those jobs here with the type of customers for the land, whoever it might end up. But part of the discussion that we've had with John is we may get an offer that we didn't solicit directly through our marketing. And it might, I'll just say, because you brought out a truck stop, if a truck stop makes an offer, we have to deliver the offer. Okay? And if it's within the zoning, we've kind of done our job as far as finding a ready, willing, able buyer. So we want to have that discussion with, and we talked to David about this, with what is it that you guys really want for the city, and we're going to try to go and find that buyer. But things happen. And to address your comment about the lease and the way that's worked up, I'm sure you've heard the comment, though, oh, boy, that commission's really high. You know, I can tell you, I've heard it a lot. And people try to work around that instead of buying the property. Well, we'll lease it. You know, and so, well, we'll lease it for 20 years and we'll divide the payment over 20, you know. And so, really, all we want to do is be fair on the commission, and that's what I've talked to John about. We're not trying to get a commission for something we didn't do. All we want to know is that if we've done the job, that we get paid. That's all it is. I grew up on a small farm in Illinois, joined the Navy, ended up out here, found a girl, stayed here. And so for me, this is my home now, but I understand this small farm town. I take the Linden Crossing when I'm going up because I like looking at the farmland. I don't want to go through Vancouver. And Washington Tractor is one of my clients. I've done work for them. And so I understand a lot of how the small town work and really what you guys are probably looking for. And so I think the team that we've, Eugene and I and then a couple other guys, I really feel that we can locate the group that could come in and really change Blaine for the better. And that's really all we want to do. And so I'm here basically to just answer questions. You have our proposal. You kind of have an outline of what we're going to do. We're going to go through the gap studies, and we're going to look at what Blaine needs and what you guys desire, and we're going to set up a plan to go find those people and then bring them in, and hopefully it'll generate an offer that's acceptable and everyone's happy. That's what I've done for almost 25 years. So.
I just thought of another thing.
Go ahead, Blaine.
Do you know the people who bought the mall? Do you know who they are, or have you been in contact with them? They're fairly new owners. They bought this mall apparently as a package. They had about a year ago now, Dave, it's been quite a while, they approached the city and wanted to establish a relationship and say that they wanted to improve the mall, and they possibly might even be interested in purchasing some of the airport properties, in particular the north end, to possibly expand the mall. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Okay.
I think you should contact them. I forget the gal's name at the moment, but we have her contact info. And I think it would be worthwhile to contact them, find out what they have in mind for the mall in the future,
Sure. And
whether they would be interested in expanding it, if that could be part of the project or not.
Right.
Wanted to bring that to you.
Great.
Okay. I guess, you know, we haven't been in a rush to do this. We've held this for a while. I've always looked upon this as our bank, like our savings account.
Okay.
And we don't want to give it away. This is something that could make a significant difference to this city for the next 20 years. The one thing I think I would object to would be warehousing, where there's no employees, we just have a bunch of buildings.
I totally agree.
I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, I think we would just take that off the list. We don't want that.
Right.
Now if it's a truck stop, it depends on what the price is.
If it was Amazon that wanted to do a fulfillment warehouse, would that be a problem?
You know, this got employees.
They do.
Business,
so.
And, you know, but
it is. So when you say warehousing, we need to define.
Yes,
I think I understand what you want.
You know,
I drove around, and you have plenty of.
It's a building, and you.
Yeah.
You put your car in it or something.
Right, you have plenty of that.
You know, we just aren't interested. I'd rather do nothing than that.
I totally agree with that.
But you can, I think you know where we're coming from.
Oh, yeah.
We've held this for a while. We realize that we were in an economic downturn. We think things are turning up a little. And I think this is a jewel. I think if the right person could see what the potential is here, I think we'd be in great shape.
I've been selling air for almost 25 years.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I sell a picture.
Picture, yeah, and it's a dream for us.
Because it's not there yet.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
So you know, I think, what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any problems with Mr. Klein. I think Monty's indicated, you know, it's 20 years since that happened, and I'm sure there's a lot of water's gone under that bridge. And so we just look forward to working with you folks, and I think we're excited.
Great. We are too. We're ready to get going.
About bringing this forward and seeing what we can come up with.
So what's next for the council is a motion to authorize Dave to execute a final agreement, subject to working out the final details between himself and myself and the broker. So that would essentially be the motion to approve the agreement pending Dave's approval of it and execution. We may have a little polling to do just to talk about any of the curb lines. And I understand it's, you know, kind of a use selection. And what I might talk to Craig about is, you know, that preventing a sale of property is something that occurs after you accept the offer, not before mm-hmm. you bring an offer. Mm-hmm. So I'll work out those details with him. But unless you have other comments about that kind of concept.
Are there any other comments or questions for?
I just have one.
Go ahead, Dennis.
In the packet we got,
mm-hmm.
it shows that the property that we've been talking about, and the Klein property, it appears to me it's being listed.
It is.
And if you get to a point where you got people looking at those two pieces of property, how do you separate yourself from one or the other?
Well, I'll let Mr. Klein do that, and that was something Dave and I discussed, and I'll just tell you what our conclusion is. I'll let Mr. Klein address that. I think he is the listing broker on that Klein property. I think we came to a conclusion that there are some material differences in the property, that the location, size, things like that, but that it might be more advantageous for one broker to have both than the appearance of conflict and less interest in trying to market two pieces that don't necessarily compete but are adjacent.
It could be an advantage, actually.
Yes.
That was exactly going to be my comment. They're actually zoned very different. Our family property is zoned MB, which is light manufacturing zoning, whereas the Gateway property is zoned for a whole bunch of different retail, hotel, and bunch of different type of use. We do see the opportunity that if there was a campus style or one or two larger anchor type tenants that would come into the city, they would need a much larger footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, I've talked to Costco and IKEA, and the property that we have doesn't even come close to the size of what they would need if they also had office and ancillary use. So it really isn't a question of conflict. If one property was to sell ahead of another, it will change the price and valuation of the other. So then it's a question of which one really is the benefit. Our ultimate job is to fulfill the mandate of the city, which is to create the jobs, the uses, and that 20-year plan that you have for that vision, and make sure that that is the ultimate piece. Both properties do need to sell, but ultimately those mandates are separate.
Is it possible, Mr. Klein, that this could actually be an advantage, that the same buyer might consider both?
I would agree, and it might be a potential purchaser that's a sort of a master plan community developer, whereas we would then go out and get tenancies for those properties, and there might be a chance that the city remains a landlord in some, or that's a land lease that's completed, or there's a multitude of things that could come out of that. And that's part of the reason that we've also got two of us on the file, so it's not like I'm directing traffic for those properties. Craig is the lead broker on the file, so they would be going through him anyway. And that dispels any conflict that might be there as well. So hopefully that gives you an assurance. I talked with David about 6 months ago to a year ago when there was an original RFP put out, and I never submitted anything because I didn't think just the Canadian connection was valuable enough to help. After meeting Craig and being a part and getting my E2 and stretching now between sort of the Seattle-Vancouver corridor with Blaine in the middle, I think is much more advantageous, and that's why we submitted the proposal. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from my standpoint at least, I would not be adverse to your parents benefiting from a combination of these properties being sold at the same buyer, or even other properties adjacent and east. You know, there's quite a bit of open land there that the city doesn't own as well. So, you know, you might want to look at the whole area in total, and
that,
not
for
just
sure. That's
what
been
the city, whatever benefits, you know, everyone, including
right.
the city, of course, is what we're looking for.
If I could comment, when I was first kind of looking at this whole thing, and I looked at the city's property, when I found out that there's, I think it's 11 acres that's, is it a wetland or a conservancy area or whatever like that, all of a sudden I realized, the picture that we were generating was going to require more than what we would have left over if we have to take that out. So the fact that Eugene's family has property there and there is additional property is really, I'm counting on it because I'm hopeful that our efforts are successful in attracting that really gem of a client, and they're going to need more. And without being able to use that 11 acres, we were actually strapped for land.
Mm-hmm. And also the strip along the truck route that the city doesn't own.
Right.
You know, there is additional property. So, you know, we would hope you would look at everything comprehensively.
Oh, yes.
With the whole picture.
Yes.
One question I had just before. How do I phrase this? Are you happy with the zoning that we put on that? If you looked at that and said, you know, that makes sense or it doesn't make sense? Or
it looks pretty versatile. So, you know, we can start, and if we need to, the nice thing about having the city as a client, they work on both sides of the counter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they can make their own application. And take.
Yeah, I
worked for
I
cities before.
If in your, after you've had an opportunity to work on this for a while, come back and say, hey, you know, we really think this should be rezoned.
Right, and I've done a lot of rezoning, and I've been about 80% success rate.
I don't know if we've done a really good job in zoning it or not, because it'll be interesting when we try to, you know.
Well, the clients will tell us,
yeah.
You know, as we're out marketing, they'll tell us, you know, this doesn't work, we'll need this. Mm-hmm. Then we lay it in front of the city, and the city can make a decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
Okay, time for a motion. So my recommended motion is that you move to authorize city manager to finalize the negotiations and, upon satisfaction, execute the brokerage agreement.
I so move. I think it's a fair contract for a commercial real estate contract.
Second. Okay, the motion has been made and second. Comments and questions?
Question.
Actually, it's a comment.
Paul?
It hasn't been mentioned, but there is a school fairly near the piece of land. So that in drawing your curb is about what can or cannot be, what the land can or cannot be used for. I would ask that you keep in mind the proximity of the school and not propose any use of the land that would be inconsistent with its proximity to the school.
Mm-hmm. All those elements of what may or may not be used, land used for, may not be included in the agreement. We may try to put a situation where you would approve a contract before creating the risk of the commission.
Okay. Further questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 7-0. Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you being here. Okay. Next item on the agenda is our commission committee and board reports. Wayne Economic Development Advisory Committee, Mr. City Manager.
Our next meeting is at the first of next month. I don't have anything to report now. I would ask for the council to take a moment to allow the city attorney to talk about fireworks for just a moment.
Okay.
There isn't a request for a decision, but we do need some direction.
Alrighty.
Regarding what your interests and
good idea.
Opinions are.
Okay.
So let's keep going.
Council members, so I was here with the last council meeting, and I was surprised by the ordinance that came up for proposal, and what I was struck with was my sense that there's a response to an issue, but no one really knew what the council's desires were. And usually my observation has been that before you bring an ordinance forward for your review, you might have a sense, we might have a more detailed sense of what you're thinking, what your goals were to have an outcome before we started drafting language that would have areas of prohibition and potential for temporary areas and all of those that were creative ideas and in the end could be doable. But I just, and Dave and I talked about it, we didn't have a know that whether that was something you were interested in pursuing or not. So I wanted to get a sense of some, if it is, it's something we can go about drafting and try to get something to you in time to have effective a year from now or sooner if possible. But I just want to, where do you want to end up? Is it just the spit? Is it not the spit? Is it no prohibitions other than what's in state law? Is it where, and Dave, you may want to expand on that, but where is it you want to be on this issue?
There's one comment. I talked to a few people about this, and most are opposed to this. And if we're going to ban fireworks from the spit because it's on the water, near the water, then why is the city shooting 100 times or 1,000 times more fireworks over the bay at the same time? And we're trying to pass another law that has, we have illegal fireworks in the city already. Why is it, it's already against the law to shoot off the stuff that we're going in. So now we're going to have to hire more policemen to walk around the beaches plus direct traffic? I have a hard time understanding why we're passing this law.
So, you know, some of the issues, just to go through the ordinance quickly, from the cover page on the staff memo for today was, but is it a New Year's Eve restriction? Is it allowing on July 4th or in the 3rd or 4th? Is it, we may need to tighten up our application process and some of the licensing process for nonprofits or for-profits. That's, you know, more of an administrative function you do by ordinance rather than a prohibition. So I don't know that there's immediate urgency for that. I'm not going to get into gross misdemeanors, minor, you know, misdemeanors. That's really not the issue. It's something we sort out in the final drafting. But Charlie's expressed the view that, you know, there's a lot of opposition to barring fireworks. But
most people aren't. You know, we were all, 3 days, the day before and the day of and the day after. Most people accept that. But, I mean, you're going to create another issue that doesn't need to be created over this.
Do you want to process for temporary restrictions if there is a high fire danger or not? I mean, there's different questions to ask as you get into it.
So this is really a threshold kind of a request we're making. We had the SRA from Semiahmoo asked the council to consider this. Our chief and the prosecutor jump-started it quicker than we expected, so we're kind of backing up a little step, which is first ask the council, is this something you're interested in us bringing to you? We know from Mr. Hawkins' point of view that he doesn't want this. If there's an interest in the council to bring it to you in response to the request from the community, then we will bring you something. And so John's getting kind of into the, weeds right now with it because you haven't had a chance
to think about
it. So the threshold question is, do you want us to provide something to you at the next meeting to consider this?
Paul,
I'm going to go.
Paul, Charlie.
Paul.
Okay, I look at the spit, and part of it is a county park. Part of it is Semiahmoo Resort Association. Part of it is a hotel. Are fireworks prohibited in a county park?
Yes. I can't tell you for certain, but I suspect so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's assume for the second that they are. Fireworks are forbidden, prohibited in the Semiahmoo areas. Fireworks are prohibited in the hotel area, I presume.
In what area?
No. Paul, I think it, you have to say that inside of the Semiahmoo itself, that's a request, not a prohibition. It's a request not to shoot fireworks off.
We have not banned them. Okay, I thought it was stronger legally than that. But I digress. My question would be, if I'm correct and fireworks are not legal within the confines of the reservation, are not legal within the confines of the county park, and are not legal on hotel ground, what would an additional ordinance buy us?
Might buy you the ability to cite an infraction or a criminal charge.
Okay. 5 years ago, I would have been opposed to adding more restrictions. Having been down at Semiahmoo Spit during the 4th of July, and combining both the number of people there and the reckless disregard with which the people are using fireworks, I'm coming around to be more in favor of a specific locality prohibition as opposed to a prohibition throughout all of Blaine.
So, and something, I mean, this might be really a topic for a work session as you get into this and the threshold question, because you have to balance the question of, do you want to just prohibit it and make it a infraction or criminal citation? And then are you going to ask the police to be down there enforcing it? And that, I'm not commenting on the quality or the positive or negatives of the policy decision, but the components of the policy decision are, what are you biting off? I mean, is it an education process? Is it just having people on the street? Or is it, you know, do you want to have active enforcement of the issue? Is there, and there may be a lot of different ways we can approach that, but I don't know that we're going to get to that. I don't expect us to get to that today. They've said it's a threshold question. Do you want to start examining this issue? If that's the case, it may be appropriate to come back as a work session and we talk about the options of how you might approach it so we can design something thoughtfully rather than just having it tossed up and having to muddle through.
Well, if I could continue my thought.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Just one moment. Charlie has made a very valid point that fireworks have been shot in his neighborhood since time immemorial. The population density there is much less. I have no interest in prohibiting fireworks where the population density is low. But having seen people fire bottle rockets at each other in a crowd, I do have an interest in prohibiting that sort of behavior.
You get those kind of crowds on the spit?
Yes. Yeah. Charlie, Bonnie's next. And I'll get back to you.
Okay. Currently, they are prohibited except for, what, the day before? Because we, a couple of years ago, restricted it to, like, the third and the fourth, maybe?
Yeah. I think it is. My recollection, it's the third and the fourth.
I don't want to prohibit them altogether. Even on the spit, I don't think. But I might entertain just the 4th of July from like 10 in the morning, whatever seems reasonable, till midnight or 1, that sort of thing, restricting it to that day alone. But I think we need to provide an expression for people. It would be a real tough policing effort. But if it's concentrated on one day, it's something we just kind of expect to do that one day. Our police force needs to be out and, you know, driving around and telling people what's dangerous and what's not. And on the third and the second, whatever, when people start it, yeah, we know we need to do that. But I'm not really for taking that expression away completely myself.
Well, you know, talking about the spit, I disagree with Paul a little bit because, I mean, Birch Bay has an unbelievable amount of fireworks that they shoot off on the 4th of July, and they have people that volunteer to clean up the beach the next day. Well, I mean, people are concerned. I mean, why, you know, trying to get volunteers to help clean up the beach after 4th of July, or it makes trying to, on the paper, encourage people not to pick up after themselves and not do stuff that's stupid. If we're going to start passing rules against, where is it going to stop? I mean, every kid wants to shoot off firecrackers, so we're going to make it illegal for kids to shoot off firecrackers. I mean, it's just one more reason, and how we're going to have more police on the street. It takes two policemen out there just to do the traffic on the fourth. How many people is it going to take to go wandering around trying to catch kids that are shooting off fireworks? I mean, it's like trying to ban alcohol. I mean, so we should be banning alcohol if we're going to want stuff that causes trouble in the city.
So but I would ask, not to debate it, but I would ask that before you get into the weeds of the debate, is that it sounds like I'm hearing that you want us to bring it back. And there's enough discourse going on that you want us to bring it back. And we would do that in the work study or study session, next meeting, along with some recommendations or?
David, we've got a request from the SRA.
Yeah.
And as we talk about the spit, some point in the future, that's going to be full of homes.
Yeah.
And the only place that you're going to allow fireworks is on the beach itself. And I'm sure that all the people, the residents there, aren't going to be thrilled to death with having a bunch of people shooting fireworks in their backyard. And the Semiamo has made a point of saying within the confinement of Semiamo, they are requesting that no one shoot off fireworks. That's going to be extended down into the spit where those homes are. And I think it's a pretty legitimate request to say if the SRA and the people who live in Semiamo just want to ban fireworks, that is a reasonable thing.
Well, I think they can ban them on properties they have jurisdiction over.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Is the city willing to step up to your non-SRA properties?
I mean, I think one of the other point I think I want to make is things are trending. We know that Bellingham has banned fireworks.
So let me just
It's easier for a city if you ban fireworks; they eventually will go away. And how bad is that?
Well, usually the cities that don't have a fireworks program, which our city does.
Yeah.
So, John, did you want to
say? I just want to say my experience with all public legislative bodies, I ask, do you want to consider X? And the answer will be yes. So I say that just because there's a request or you were presenting an ordinance, or we're asking a threshold question, doesn't mean you need to jump to it. It doesn't mean you don't. So I want to tell you what the current regulation is, and then maybe you say we don't want to visit it, or we do. The current prohibition is use at any time except July 1st and July 3rd, between July 1st and July 3rd, between 9 and 11. So you can do it between 9 and 11 on July 1st and 3rd, use fireworks. July 4th, between 9 and midnight. And July 5th between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. Everything else in the year is prohibited. So it's those 5 days,
John,
9 to 11 except July 4th, which is 9 to 12.
They're banned on New Year's?
They're banned on New Year's. It's July 1st, July 3rd, and July 5th, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., and July 4th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
I think we can tighten it up.
At
the very least, we can tighten it up.
Yes, Dennis.
John, we could look at if conditions are such that there could be a ban on all fireworks.
We can choose to.
Well, I'm getting the sense now that you want us to bring it back.
Okay.
We'll
I just want to double check.
We'll bring a study session first.
Yeah.
We can talk about whether we want to move to something to a more higher level because of the timing of things. John, we'll talk about that in the next couple of days.
We can talk for the next day or two and see where we want to bring it forward now. It will be difficult to adopt something effective and enforceable this year.
Yeah, it has to be next year.
Okay, so the sense of urgency may not be till early June, but you get adopted a year in advance. But in any event, we can talk and then schedule a work session and bring through. And quite frankly, the program to minimize the bottle rockets might just be, and since Henry's here, maybe you do already, parking a fire truck down there and have people walking around and each with uniforms and badges has a significant deterrent effect regardless of whether they carry a citation book. And they're already illegal anyway. So.
I think the city's fire contractor should be involved in our discussions, in our work session. Yeah.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Council.
Okay, now back to commission, committee, and board reports. Steve, do you have any on your...
We have a meeting tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. here in the council chambers.
Okay. Okay, how about the Blaine Chamber of Commerce?
Well, the only thing is I was at the meeting last week, and the speaker was supposed to be Maddie, our new code enforcer, and she was not available. So Alex was there and just kind of gave an update on the Google Maps project and encouraging the business owners to get involved in that and knowing how to set up their businesses on the Google Maps with detailed information about their businesses, not just that they're there, but getting some details of their hours of operation and their menu and photos. And Alex really impressed that upon those that were there. So that was a good session.
WTA, Paul.
There will be no board meeting during the month of May.
Okay. Charlie, how about the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee?
There's no meeting this month.
Okay. Dennis, your three committees.
The Library Committee met with Tom Beckwith and Stan Watkins, and it was a good meeting. Lots of information. Yeah. Senior Center, their tea is this coming Sunday. And I talked to Chris Fields at the Boys and Girls Club, and they're very happy with the pavilion. And they're looking towards a summer program, and I understand they run from 11:30 to 5, I think, during the week.
They're doing Zumba there. Yeah, a few Zumba classes. And
there is a question on that, the decibel readings.
Okay.
Do you want to tap your foot when it's
kind of overflowing into the seniors?
And there was one other thing. They've got new flooring in the center, and they got it in the pavilion. And there is a little short gravel path from H Street up to the parking lot. And I talked to Bill about it. If there's a way to get that sealed so that the rocks don't get picked up.
I think they're going to do some work out there with paving.
Our thought at this point is, and we haven't firmed this up yet, but as a part of the Mitchell Street project, when we're going to have a paver truck, to do a change order to add an H Street driveway access to the community center, and then most likely close that address on a, because it's problematic in a multitude of ways. You've got kids coming in and out right there and people turning in, and there's just concern all around. There's a crosswalk, but who looks at crosswalks and, you know, all that good stuff. And I think it would, the addresses are off of H Street, or at least one is. No?
G Street.
Okay. But in any event, the I think what I was thinking of is just the way that it is looked at and sold, it's on H Street, right? Yeah. And so the driveway should
make
be
a lot more sense.
Yeah. So we're working on that idea right now. Where would we put it? Do we need to, you know the kind of costs that would be involved and all of that? And it also goes kind of hand in hand with some of the what Dave's working on in the school district.
Yeah. So maybe we can put some knockoff mats before they get inside to knock the gravel off. Maybe.
Yeah, or put bark or something over those the gravel.
I know it picks up the rocks and that's
Bunny.
While we're on the topic, Dave, where does this stand? Are the discussions ongoing with the school district about transferring that property or trading or, you know, the parking lot for the senior center and the Boys and Girls
Club? We are, in fact, there's a meeting, I think, we tried to get it this week on Wednesday, but everyone's tied up, so it's going to be a week or 2 weeks from Wednesday, just because everyone's schedules are there. Did you want to attend that?
Maybe sure.
Something you could, I guess.
Let me know.
So we're going to talk about the values of the land versus work that we can do. There's a kind of a list of things. We're trying to get it so it's cost neutral.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But we'll see.
May 25th.
May 25th.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Mr. Jones, Planning Commission and Park and Cemetery Board.
Park and Cemetery Board had an extra meeting, well, a special meeting earlier this month working on the parks and recreation element of the comprehensive plan. That is moving forward to the Planning Commission, so the Parks and Cemetery Board has, as a result, canceled their regular meeting, which is on the 12th. On the 12th, the Planning Commission will be having a conditional use permit hearing for a 15-unit condominium or multifamily residential building at Mitchell and Peace Portal Drive, that big field that's been sitting there for quite a few years now. So that's their, I'm sure will be their more exciting of the two topics. On that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Mitchell and Peace Portal.
Mike Kent had it for sale sign for quite some time. Imus owned the property in the past.
Yeah. Oh, it's been sold?
Yes.
And is there a proposal?
For two buildings with 15 units of multifamily residential.
Oh, okay. So that's going forward in a possibility?
It's having a conditional use permit hearing on Thursday.
Okay.
That's good. Interesting.
Good.
Good. Raven, could we have the Public Works Advisory Committee?
Yes, the committee had a meeting last week, talked about potential changes to the electric code relating to development charges, and then they also had a well field tour. The next meeting is scheduled for the 2nd of June, and we'll be talking on that electric topic once again, and I'm not exactly sure what else will be on the agenda. Yeah.
Small Cities Caucus, David, we have a meeting this month.
Yes, 3 weeks.
And the Whatcom Council of Governments meets tomorrow. And the North Whatcom Fire Update, Chief Hollander is here. And he's given us his menu. And
evening, Council. Shared with you our monthly newsletter. A good article in the front on the front page of a scholarship that the local union has provided, 5 scholarships for high school students that are moving forward into the fire realm, looking for fire jobs in the future. So those scholarships were given. We also just hired 5 new firefighters. They're not new hires, but they're new hires, but they're to replace 5 members that have left over the last year and a half or so. Budget's been kind of tight, so we've been holding off. But we did hire, and they started the academy. It's kind of like the police academy. They started last week, and they'll be gone for 16 weeks at North Bend. So we'll actually see them on the floor in August. Otherwise, we had quite the surprise last week when Trump called and said he was going to visit. That we got notified of that 3:30 in the afternoon on Thursday that he was going to show up Saturday at 4 o'clock. So you can imagine what our Friday was like, putting those plans together. More actually on the law enforcement side, but we were helping them out. And then the last thing I'll share with you on June 6th is the Cascadia Rising exercise, the earthquake exercise. There was a big article about that in the paper. And I'm sure the city will have some involvement in that too. I know there's a... We don't know everything that's going to happen. Actually, we don't know anything that's going to happen other than a lot of buildings are going to collapse, and there's going to be a lot of stranded people, particularly down in Birch Bay. They've let that one leak, that all the roads to the lower part of Birch Bay are going to be gone. So I'll be very busy during that exercise. With that, unless you have any other questions of me. That's...
Chief, do you have any comments regarding our fireworks? Is that...
Well, I was thinking about that while I was listening to it. First of all, you're already substantially more restrictive than the rest, than the state standard is now. So from an enforcement component, it becomes challenging when someone's shooting fireworks right on the border. You can't on that side of the street, but you can't on that side of the street. So there's some challenges there. It's also so overwhelming that most we don't do a lot of infraction work. It's just too overwhelming. You can't, unless there's a massive issue going on, we just let everybody shoot off what they want to do, particularly down in Birch Bay. Bottle rockets are illegal all over. But again, what I hear most is everybody loves coming to Blaine and Birch Bay because the parade, the events, and you can shoot off fireworks. So if you limit fireworks, I guess my concern would be how many of those people are not going to come to the other events. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
I've got a question. So you said you hired 5 new firefighters.
Correct.
And they're in training. What is the cost of that? The district to train those folks for that period of time?
It's just the academy cost is $5,500 per student, but then we've got another $4,000 or $5,000 in gear, turnout gear and up
front. Are the employees while they're in training?
They are.
Is this an on-site training, the residential training?
It's an on-site campus at North Bend, so they go, they're trained Monday through Thursday on campus. So they leave here Sunday night and return Thursday night, and they're usually given about 4 days of study work to complete, and the 3 days they're home.
So probably on average the salary is probably like around $50,000 a person.
Well, we have through our contract, we've negotiated a training salary, so it's substantially less than beginning firefighter, and that was negotiated during our contract to help us afford to send them to North Bend. We used to do our own in-house academies, but the North Bend Academy is superior to what we could put on because they get instructors from all over the state to come in. So we sort of negotiated a lower salary. We took that money, and then we took some of our money to help pay to send them to that academy.
Great, thanks.
Yep. Anything else?
Thank you, Chief. Okay, department reports, public works.
Good evening. So kind of nice after several meetings of lots of action items to just have a project update this evening. We have one project under construction right now. That's the well 8.1 improvements, putting in the shack and the piping and so forth. That's taking place in Lincoln Park and going very smoothly. As far as I know, no complaints. I don't know if you're hearing any, Michael, but very proactive contractor and easy to work with. The 5.1 project should be going out to bid here in the next week or two. The Lincoln Park Sewer Project, we are in the process of contracting for design, so we've negotiated with a consultant, and we're just routing contracts at this point in time. And this is a design that's relatively complete already because it was done for a developer previously, and we're working with the same engineer. So he's telling me a two-week turnaround. So I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to get that puppy out to bid in the next month. The next rail station stop policy meeting is coming up this May 20th in Seattle from 1 to 5, and they also do a remote access to that. I know, Bonnie, you're interested. I don't know what the plan is in terms of going south. I wish I could go. But their remote login was actually pretty amazing last time. Mm-hmm. Got to see you all down there. We held an open house for the Vista Terrace project with the property owners last week. It was at the community center and it was fairly well attended. John Sitkin was there, finance director Jeff Lazenby. Some good questions. I thought that it covered a lot of territory. We kind of talked a little bit about the decision you made on the GFF and the grant money and how that would be applied. And now we are working on how that might be implemented. So I am still working on setting up a meeting with Senator Erickson Van Wirden and Buys, or Representative Van Wirden and Representative Buys, on the I-274 project. The mayor's schedule is one that I'm working around, as well as Dave's. Are there any others of you that wanted to be in that meeting?
If you said Erickson and Buys, can we?
Van Wirden.
So essentially all
can
of our Whatcom County...
Can we combine the VACA situation? You know, it's so hard to get them.
Well, the VACA is federal. So
I know.
That's Del Denny and
I know, but we're not having much luck with Del Denny, so we thought maybe Erickson could be a conduit to get some attention to funnel federal funds maybe through the state to the VACA. So I don't know if we could at least corner him and while we have him.
We can at least ask the question if he felt like it. I guess I would hesitate if it would take energy away from 274 at this
doesn't
point.
Doesn't Del Benny have a new representative in local?
She does.
And that would be my recommendation, we meet with that individual.
We did meet with them, last Small Cities Caucus meeting,
And I think we got to keep driving that home with Del Benny, and I mean, perhaps, Dave, we need to think of a follow-up meeting just to say, hey, what have you done? He knows the problem, says he's going to go back to Washington, talk to them. I haven't heard from him, and I don't know if you've heard from him. But I think we've got to keep putting pressure on them. Murray and Cantwell, I don't know if we should find a way to bring them into the equation or not.
Probably wouldn't hurt. I mean, they don't represent this area like Del Benny does, but certainly it's a border issue of the state that they should be interested in. I think maybe we need to involve them as well.
Raven, what was the date on the meeting?
May the 20th.
The date on which?
Erickson?
We don't have a date. Unfortunately, last week I was able to get a hold of people, but I wasn't able to get a hold of the mayor. So now I have a little more info about the mayor's schedule. I'm going to try again. But I wanted to check and see if any others of you might be interested.
I would be if you want to say, let me know.
I talked to Van Werven at the Blessing of the Fleet meeting. She was very apologetic and said all the right things. But I told her that we really wanted to sit down with Erickson. Erickson's, the guy that pulled the plug on the 274, so we need to find out directly from him why he did it. The only other thing I would recommend is if we were going to meet with the three of them, that perhaps we ask the COG if they would like to attend.
I guess my hesitation there is it might dilute some of our issues.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, we'd really like to really just focus on 274, not get into other COG issues.
Yeah, and I think the focus needs to be on what we need to do moving forward. My understanding from talking with Representative Van Werven is that Ferndale did a really good job in marketing their need for the improvements on Thornton, you know, pictures, video, all of that kind of stuff, and just laid it on. All we've done with 274 is a project paper. It's a great project paper, but it doesn't communicate the level of need. They need to see that SR-533 is backed up onto the freeway. They need to see these trucks trying to turn on Hughes into oncoming traffic. They need to see some of these needs and how the state needs to address them because it's their highway.
Can we have the police department take some photos when those times exist?
I don't know if it'll be police. I know we have taken photos because we have been looking for project funding to work with Hughes and also with
pictures. 1,000
SR-543. We've also, when it been really backed up, we've had our bucket truck go and take an aerial. But the state knows it's there. I mean, they have a camera right there they could see, but unfortunately the communities to the south of us just get more attention. That's the reality.
That Erickson lives in
Ferndale. Yeah, that's part of it too.
Just going to stop talking. I'll get back to my project update. So I'll keep working on that. Thank you, and I'll work with Councilmember Onion and the mayor on that timing. I am in need of two of you that would like to be a judge on June 2nd for the fourth grade water awareness poster. This is a lot of fun. It's from 1:30 to 2:30 in the elementary school cafeteria. How often do you get to go back to elementary school? So can I count on two of you? Please, going once.
What date is it?
June 2nd from 1:30 to 2:30.
What date is June 2nd? What day is it? Thursday?
It's a Thursday, sir.
I've done it before, so.
I have one. Going once, going twice. I need one more. I have two? All right.
If you don't keep the meeting.
I have to keep my advisory committee meeting short enough for you to go home for lunch. Okay. We have two. Thank you so much.
One thing I would point out is Pat, who owns the, what is it, a chocolate factory or something?
No.
C-Shop. Mm-hmm. Brings candy. So yeah. you have some.
He's always there.
He is always
there. He's
favorite.
A member of the Birch Bay Water and Sioux District Commissioner.
Pat Alessi. Yeah.
You might want to think of bringing something. Do we have anything from the city that we could provide?
We have totally chocolate nearby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear the new owners are doing great there.
Might be worth to have a little competition with old Pat to see if we can win some of the fourth graders over.
I think we might have some connections there. Okay, I'm done being. I gotta be serious now. Just so you know, we have set up a study session with Birch Bay Water and Sewer District on the 23rd to talk about the North County Water Supply Grant. That would be one of the dates that might be considered for doing this fireworks study session. I'm reluctant to want to let go of that schedule entirely because they want to sign the contract with the grant and they also want to sign contracts with us. And I would like your feedback before doing so. So it may mean if the fireworks thing works out that you do a 4 o'clock for that and then a 5 o'clock with Dan and our consultant for the. So anyway, just a heads up there on a possible 4 p.m. study session. And then last meeting, you requested an update / study session on the King Creek project, and I have scheduled that for June 13th meeting. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, Community Development Services.
Since you're on the topic of exit 274, there was a question at the last meeting that I didn't have an answer for. Mr. Olson, you asked about the modeling for our transportation system, and exit 274's improvements are not in that model. It's not. That's too big of an assumption to make because it would change the traffic flow too dramatically. In any case, it could be in the next modeling if we just get it built or funded. Two other things real quickly. I wanted to remind you of the Semiahmoo Shore open house. I got a reminder email on that, and you all were invited to the open house to view the new units, and it's the first of 23 future buildings down there on Semiahmoo Spit. That's tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and there will be food and drink, so even more reason to attend.
Is it 4 o'clock to
4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
tomorrow?
At the actual unit. Semiahmoo Shore, formerly known as Seagrass. So you don't need to be there from 4 until 7, just any time to stop by and say hello and tour the units. And I was lucky enough to get into one of them recently when it was pretty close to completion, and really they're beautiful. I'm sure it'll be something when there's furniture in there, as there will be for the open house tomorrow.
How many?
And then the last thing was I wanted to let you know that we're working on a little bit of a project and some planning, working on some budgeting for a neighborhood cleanup effort where we'll probably come back at the mid-year budget cycle and talk with you in more detail about that. But it would be an idea where different neighborhoods could essentially apply to us to have some dumpsters brought in for green waste and other debris to help with some of the cleanup as part of this whole effort that we're doing. For enforcement, in more than a few instances, we've had people say, well, we would help them if we could just get rid of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Or I have things, but it's hard for me to get it taken care of. So different than our old city cleanup where we brought in tons and tons of dumpsters and recycling and such, and then we help folks with their unloading and all of that. This would be more of a volunteer, self-serve kind of situation, but we're working on that plan. We'll see how it comes together, and we'll let you know. Anything for me while I'm up here? Yes, ma'am?
As an example, the Clark Street house that we got a letter on, Clark and 4th?
Mm-hmm.
4th and Clark. And it's kind of, to use as an example, when we get a letter or a complaint, let's say, on a particular property that we are working on, we've already started the process, and I understand with this particular house we have started that process of notification. Can we get back to the people who care enough to write a letter and respond to them? You had said earlier, well, we're working on it. But I think it's important to, if people care enough to write a letter, to just a short, you know, or a phone call, whatever may be the case, to let them know that we are working on it and whether we have received a response or not. And it sounds like some of the issues with that particular property that we got a copy, we all got a copy of that letter, I believe. There are some issues that are definitely violations, like living in an RV on the property and the sewage issue and all that sort of thing. These people who wrote this letter need to know that at least those kinds of things are being addressed.
Yes, I guess a couple things I would say related to that is we are in contact with Ms. Evans, who was one of the signers of that letter, and she's been in a couple of times to talk with us about it. So my guess is the majority of them, or all of them, are aware. But one of the reasons we don't reply to folks on all of those kinds of things is what they like to do is get engaged in a discussion of whether we're doing it right or not, or kind of want to debate things with us. So we can reply and say we've received your comment or your letter, and our website actually has that kind of capacity built into it, but we generally will do that. But it's important to recognize, and for everyone to recognize, we don't get into a discussion with them about the actions of our enforcement and that sort of thing, because really it's not between them and the neighbor, it's between the city and the property owner. But we certainly can let them know. It's also important to recognize that that's a letter where there are presumptions made and allegations made, sewage, for example, and such. We don't know that those are factual until we investigate. And so it is important always to kind of keep that in mind.
Sure.
In fact, parking an RV and living in it for a certain period of time on your property is permissible for a certain period of time. So it's important to bear that in mind. When folks write the letters, they often are interpreting something that may not be factual or may not be illegal. Mm-hmm. But we will make sure that they get a response.
But I think we have to honor the fact that the people who live there know a lot more of the activity taking place than we do, we're not there all the time.
That's right.
So I think we have to give a certain credence to that as a means of justifying following up and saying, you know, how long are you actually living here? I mean, the letter made it sound like it was like in the summertime they were living here on the property in an RV and then they go to Arizona, you know. So those kind of things I think need to be followed up. It was an allegation.
Certainly.
That's not proven. I understand that, but yet it gives a reason to follow up on that.
Yes, and we do. And it, just like all of the comments and letters such as that come in, we now have someone who follows up on all of them.
Yeah.
Michael, the only thing I'd say is that you need to be aware of the rights of the people that reported to be kept private.
It's public record, and that's another component of it, but that is a public record, and it's available to anyone who requests it.
Is there no way to put in a complaint anonymously?
You can put in a complaint anonymously, but once you sign a letter and give it to the city, it is not possible to make it anonymous. It is, you have put your name on something that you've made public.
Yeah, especially in writing.
Yeah. So, but you can make anonymous comments. That's possible, or register a complaint anonymously.
Okay.
But it all comes back down to the idea that really it's an investigation by the city, acting on city laws, not the information provided by others.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of a notice to us is how we look at that.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. City manager.
Just a brief report. Did you have something to say?
Yes.
Oh, did I pass you up again? You're not on the agenda. We dropped you from the agenda entirely.
She made it.
Okay. I'll just do a brief update. We have had Tom Beckwith meeting with community groups throughout the city, doing a great job. We're getting lots of positive feedback. If there are individuals or groups that you've talked to that want to speak with him, please let me know. Some of the council members who've been gone, we want you to be engaged in this process, so I'll make sure that we have a conversation about that. But he's been here several times and meeting with friends of the library itself. Every group that we can identify, he's willing to talk with. So if you have anybody or any group that you know about that we should have him speak with, we should do that. And I think he's following a very aggressive schedule, and I think I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from everyone who's spoken to me about it. So that's it. Just a short report, and I'll turn it over to Sherry.
Thank you. I'm sorry I took my name off of the agenda and then realized I had a couple things I needed to talk to the council about. The first one was Mike Haslip had sent out the training for the Natural Disaster Awareness that's happening this Thursday. I understand Councilmember Stewart is going, City Manager is going, and just if anybody wants me to forward that email to them again, I certainly can.
What's the time on that? That's from
8 a.m. to noon.
Yeah.
On Thursday.
Okay, then council members Onion and Stewart, you have a book that I put on in front of your chair, and that's on parliamentary, basically council meetings. And then I passed out to everybody the voting situations, and on the back it's actually legible now on the processes. And we've discussed coming up as soon as we get through some of the things like the public hearing on the ULID, that type of thing, that we can have a study session and go back and look at our rules of procedure and have some discussion on that. And so I'm hoping that would either be the end of June or early July. And then the other thing I was going to mention is that John Sitkin has requested that we have a court reporter here on the 23rd. And so I'm going to work with her to see where the best place is for her to sit. But really reminding the council members and staff to speak into the mics, lean forward. I know it's the way the chairs are sometimes, it's a little bit difficult to lean forward, but it will be important for her to hear, and then also for the audience and myself. So I appreciate it. Are there any questions of me? And then just one last thing. We have discussed in the past, the city has the capability of providing you with access on your smart devices to Good for Enterprises, which is like an Outlook type software that lets you go straight to it on your cell phone to get your city emails. Mm-hmm. And it only takes a couple of minutes to set it up. So if anybody has a device that they would like that installed on, please let me know and we can set it up. And then Sam, did you have an opportunity to call council members? Okay, so Sam will be calling council members regarding possible devices to provide in place of the laptops that you have. Laptops are pretty old. And so he will be calling just asking some questions. He's not going to want to know what you want. He just wants to know what you'll be using it for. And that way we can consider what would be best for the council members.
I'd like my phone programmed.
Okay, so if you just stop by the office and I'll let Bob know.
Yeah.
Okay. It really does just take a few minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I have a question.
Oh, yes.
You mentioned the disaster preparedness along with the public safety report. I got a copy, and maybe the rest of you got this before, and I'm just getting it now, this letter from Ron Spanger. I assume we responded to him about the speed on the truck route. It's 40 miles per hour, and he's asking if it might be able to be slowed down. Have we?
I can respond.
Go ahead.
So we've had a couple of requests now regarding the truck route, speed limit, school zone, all of that. It's all WashDOT territory, so we have no real control. That being said, there's been enough discussion and public comment. Our thought was to schedule a study session that could talk about some of this stuff. The person that we have been working with, WashDOT, I've been working with WashDOT for 20 years on traffic issues, has now passed the baton to a new employee. We've made contact with a new employee, so we'll be scheduling that.
Okay, good.
I think with the Vista Terrace and the fireworks and the Birch Bay thing, it might get pushed a little bit, but rest assured it is on our agenda to get scheduled. Yeah.
I mean, certainly they've got to listen to local communities, even though it is their road. I'm sure they do listen to the local situation. So
absolutely. Like I said, I've been working with this one individual for so long, I'm just like, no,
yeah,
I want you to come
know,
up. But,
it's,
yeah. You know, it's
okay,
a good way
that's
to
good.
Put their new employees
I assumed
to the
it was being worked on. I just wanted to bring it up.
You bet.
Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you.
Any changes to the calendars?
No changes, Your Honor.
Okay. Any unfinished business? Any council new business? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:38.
Good.